Jesus said, "I am the bread of life."
To understand a bit better what he meant by this rather strange phrase, we need to look back at the beginning of the chapter from which this passage was taken. And there we read of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. And in this incident, he took a small boy's picnic of a few loaves and fish and fed a large crowd. They had followed him to see the signs that he performed. How he did this is not the focus of the account, but why. And he did it to reveal something of the love and compassion of his Father. And as John points out, this would have occurred near the time of the Passover, when the people would have been thinking about the time they spent in the wilderness and how God fed them with a manna as they wandered through the desert. Was this a similar event? Some of them seemed to recognize in Jesus' action something significant. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, Jesus withdrew again to the hills by himself. And in fact, when Jesus was discussing this later with the people, reference is made to God's feeding his people with manna. And Jesus points out, as we've heard, that material feeding is not his primary concern, but spiritual feeding. Just as he satisfied their physical hunger, so he can satisfy their deepest spiritual needs. And in this way, Jesus is the bread of life, on whom we need to feed if we're to find true fulfillment and inner peace. As Augustine wrote, "Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you." So the feeding of the crowd was a sign which pointed to the feeding of their hearts and minds, which Jesus had been sent into the world to do. And of course, still does. And one of the particular ways in which he does, in which he makes himself present, is when we meet to break bread in the context of this act of worship. Because this is a special means that he's left us to remind us both of what he's done for us and also that through the sacrament he's present with us now because he rose again. And so we eat and drink and feed on him who is the bread of life. This service represents that great act of self-giving love which Jesus' life was poured out for us on the cross, revealing the limitless depth and breadth of the love of which is the very heart of God. All that conspired against him on that unforgettable Friday could not vanquish or destroy this amazing love. And through this sacrament, we actually partake of that love now, in order that, fed by him spiritually, we might live as he lives. We share in that victory. And if it seems hard to comprehend, we can take comfort that his contemporaries found it hard too. Many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But when Jesus asked the 12, "Will you also go away?" Simon Peter answered for them, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And there's a sense in which we are faced with the same question, the same challenge. Because the resurrection of Jesus is a challenge as well as a joy. It's a challenge because if we believe it, if we accept that through this sacrament we feed on him, we have to respond. If Jesus is the bread of life, the resurrection and the life of humanity, if his teaching is the answer to the world's needs, if by following his example we discover the way to real life, then we can't but not follow him and share our belief with the world around us. And it can be hard because that world seems largely indifferent, if not hostile. But it was in the time of our Lord. As Jesus warned, there are those who love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Just as the crucifixion was a battle between goodness and love versus evil and hatred, so the fight continues to make known the triumph of the former, of which the resurrection is a sign and a pledge. In many ways, our task in essence is the same as those first followers of Jesus. But the fact is, we're not battling on our own. We're not reliant on old memories and ancient traditions. We have our Lord here, feeding us and strengthening us. This is good news indeed. In just the same way as that crowd were fed the bread and fish on the slopes of Galilee, so you and I are fed on the essence of his presence, his body and blood, so that we may know his power to sustain and enable us to fulfill his will. This was why, from the very beginning, this act of worship became the focus when Christians met together. They met together to break bread in remembrance. Let me read you something that a liturgical theologian has written. Was ever another command so obeyed? For century after century, spreading slowly to every continent and country and among every race on earth, this action has been done in every conceivable human circumstance, for every conceivable human need, from infancy and before it to extreme old age and after it, from the pinnacles of earthly greatness to the refuge of fugitives in the caves and dens of the earth. Men have found no better thing than this to do for kings at their crowning and for criminals going to the scaffold, for armies in triumph or for a bride and bridegroom in a little country church, for the proclamation of a dogma or for a good crop of wheat, for the wisdom of the parliament of a mighty nation or for a sick old woman afraid to die, for a schoolboy sitting an examination or for Columbus setting out to discover America, for the famine of a whole province or the soul of a dead lover. In thankfulness because my father did not die of pneumonia. For Captain So-and-so wounded and prisoner of war. While the lions roared in the nearby amphitheatre, on the beach at Dunkirk. While the hiss of sighs in the thick June grass came faintly through the windows of the church. Tremulously by an old monk on the 50th anniversary of his vows. Gorgeously for the canonization of St. Joan of Arc. One could fill many pages with the reasons why men have done this and not tell a hundredth part of them. And best of all, week by week and month by month, on 100,000 successive Sundays, faithfully, unfailingly, across all the parishes of Christendom, the pastors have done this just to make the plebs sanct today. The holy common people of God. So this sacrament keeps before us the reality of Christ's living presence. Remind us that his promises are true, that he is with us always, and nothing can separate us from his love. So may we share this meal with joy, with faith, with hope, and discover for ourselves the truth of these verses. Bread of heaven, on thee we feed, for thy flesh is meat indeed. Ever may our souls be fed with this true and living bread. Day by day, with strength supplied to the life of him who died. Vine of heaven, thy blood supplies this blessed cup of sacrifice. Lord, thy wounds our healing give. To thy cross we look and live. Jesus, may we ever be grafted, rooted, built in thee. Amen.